Mike Tyson raves in full bloom, captured the art of fighting. The Hollywood Reporter says it's Malik meets Scorsese. In full bloom. Available now on Amazon Prime Video.
I can make $40,000 a year stretch out.
Yeah, I bet now. But when you were fighting, you were pretty loosey-goosey with money, right?
Oh, God.
Elephant in the room. But you know what I'm saying?
Like, fuck. That's why I'm asking this.
That's what I'm saying, man.
The next thing I see this girl, next thing, hey, do you like that Mercedes? I got really a nice car. I got, oh, I'm so fucked up. Forgive me, God. Why did you make me like this?
What's up, guys? I'm Brendan Schaub, co-hosting Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson.
And I'm Mike Tyson, and we have such an illustrious guest today, Francis Ngannou. Talk to us, champ. The new UFC heavyweight champion of the entire world. What's that, 7 billion people? What's the world's population? 7-8 billion people? 7-8 billion people you could beat in a fair fight. The children, the babies, the girls.
Baddest man on the planet.
Yes.
Straight up baddest man on the planet.
Wow. What a pleasure to be introduced by the big Mike himself, you know.
You surely deserve it. You surely deserve it, champ.
Why?
This is no time to be humble right now, champ. Be the great champion.
Thank you.
Tell us about the feeling of capturing the championship.
Oh, man, it's awesome. I remember being there at that moment. I can't explain how it. I mean, you might know it, but I don't know how to explain that feeling.
Did you see your hometown go bizarre? Did they show your hometown back home?
Yeah.
Did you see people in the stands?
Have you seen it, Mike?
Yeah,
it's great.
I have even a better video, because like we have people there. They were filming and. When you see that, he just go crazy.
They were like, going. They lost their mind.
Nuts.
Oh yeah. Because
you beat a great fighter. You didn't beat a tomato can or a bum. You beat a great fighter. You know he's great. He beat you before.
To even call him great is almost an understatement. I mean, something, you know, Stipe, greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Like, there's argument for that as well.
He's tough, though. He's not great for nothing.
He's great, man.
That guy's tough.
Yeah.
As tough as they come. Because think about it, your first fight, like, most of those shots you landed would put anybody out.
Yeah.
And he stuck with it.
Even the first round for this fight.
Yes.
Like, he was eating them and just walk like nothing.
I knew he was in trouble when he attempted that takedown and you sprawled and brawled and then got his back and seatbelt and started punching. Yeah. I went, oh, it's about to be a long night for Stipe. France learned how to wrestle.
Yeah, I was ready. I'm like, you know, what happened in 2018 can't happen anymore. Like, I have to be ready for this.
That had to happen for this to happen.
Correct. Yep.
If that don't happen, you don't come here.
Because I don't think you were ready.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yep. Because is it fair to say, like, if you would have won that first time, I don't know. Because, you look at the potential matchups you have in the future, which we'll get into. But I don't think your legacy would be cemented it's going to be now. Because that first fight – you know, you needed that loss to get to where you're at now.
Not just my legacy, like even my fight IQ, my understanding of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was just like 4 years and a half since when I get into MMA. So I had a lot of unanswered question that I remember being there, was like asking myself a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And I get there. Just after that fight right there, I understood that I needed this. I mean, it wasn't like the best outcome, what I was expected, but I knew that from this fight, I'm going to go far. I kind of like circle the fight and understand like how it works now. So I'm going to be ready for the next time. And to be honest, I think like if it wasn't about that fight, as you said, I wouldn't be here now. Because even if I would have won that fight later on, down the road, I would have fall because there was a lot of
I'm so happy you noticed something. That. Most fighters don't understand that.
No, I understood that like right away. Yeah. Like, I'm like, okay, it's sad that I lost. But at the meantime, there's a lot of good thing in this. Like, I didn't have that experience. I have a lot of holes in my game that I need to fill up. And that allowed me to really understand what was that. And now I'm like, okay, from here, I gained that experience. I have all the answer for the question that I had. And, you know, moving on, I'm going to know what I'm putting myself into. And that's why, like, walking into this fight, I knew, like, what could possibly happen. What could be the worst thing to happen? Like, I was ready. Like, okay, doesn't matter what happened. I will be here. I will have the answer for that.
And you're also calm, cool, and collected. Like in previous fights, it always worked because I think your longest fight for previous to this, like a minute 12 or minute 11. So you're starching dudes. And I was like, man, let's see if Francis has, you know, if his IQ's gotten higher, because you did rock Stipe, and I was like, oh, here he goes. And you stayed calm, collected, and just weathered, you know, just you didn't rush in like an inexperienced guy would do.
Exactly.
And that's what's scary to me.
Exactly.
That's terrifying.
And that's what I'm talking about, like gaining experience from the last fight.
Yes, sir.
Because when you look the last fight, that's exactly what I did. Like after a punch, I was just walking through him like,
yep,
you know, and you can't walk to a champion like that.
No way.
And I'm like, no, there's something. Then after that fight, I went back, watched his tapes. I'm like, this guy's tough. You can't just go there, expect to just walk through him.
No,
like
he's not
going to
fall.
You know, and for this time, everything was just about to be calm, like collect, stay composed, take your time. Like you have 25 minutes.
Yes, sir.
You have to manage that. You know, if you go crazy, you're going to lose your gas tank in like maybe one round.
And that's what Stipe wants.
What about the other five rounds?
Yeah.
If you get there. So I'm like, okay, we have to spend like equally, stay in the same guys in the same level.
Yes, sir.
Know, and see how it plays out. And yeah.
And what's your wrestling coach's name?
I train at Stream and sometimes Eric or Dennis who.
Yeah, I think it's Eric because going into the fight, yeah. I said, and it got to your coach because he was like, what is Shab talking about? Because I said, you know, everyone's like, France is so much better. And all I said was, we don't know, and it's not his fault, but he's been starching everybody in those four previous fights. His longest fight was a minute 11. He starched everyone. So I said, the verdict's not out if his wrestling's any better. That's all I said. I think he was like, what the hell, Shab? And then after this fight, I went, holy shit, his wrestling's way better. Yeah. They were right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And walking through this fight, I know that there might be some trap for Stipe because, like, if he watched my fight against Jezinho and see the way that I rushed into that fight.
Yes.
And he was expecting me to do the same thing here. I'm like, this guy hasn't changed. He's going to do the same thing.
Correct.
So he was there, like, waiting for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
But then that's what he did. That's why, right? He landed a decent shot. Yeah. And then he was like, oh, shit, I got him. Then he rushed in. And then that's where he clipped him with that left hook.
Yeah. Because even when he landed that right hand, what went in my mind was like, damn, you're doing something wrong. Because I knew we've been working on, I knew that the Stipe step back back right is his best punch.
Yep.
And that's what he caught Verdum with the first time.
Correct, that's how he got his belt.
Yeah, that's how he get his belt. So when I get that right hand on my face, I'm like, damn, you did something wrong. Resettle, calm down, and collect. And then he was just running to me with his hand like this.
Like Rosenstruck. Like the Rosenstruck. He was doing what you did against Rosenstruck. He was like rushing in.
He was just like, then I'm like, where are you going?
Fighting is interesting.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
See, people, it's just awesome shit.
Mike, now that he's champ, and obviously, you know, France has a squad now, and one of the most famous guys on the planet, and you know this better than anyone. Is there things like traps you should watch out for? Like, it's just because when you're ranked number one, it's different when you're champ.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's Mike, there's traps.
Yeah,
man.
But you know, this guy is definitely just going to stay hungry because he learned from the first fight with the champ.
Yep, Stipe.
Right, Stipe. You learned from the first fight, you know, you are human, you can be beat. You know, you came to that reality before, you know, you thought you couldn't be beaten. You got beat by this guy. So that makes you even a better fighter. It should make you a better fighter. It should make you rise to the occasion because you should know there's guys out there hungry just like you now. Guys exactly. who were afraid of you when you were contender, but now you're champion. They're not afraid of you no more. They want to eat you alive. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Everybody's afraid of you when you're the contender, but when you're the champion, that switch changed. They have to eat.
Because you have the belt.
Yeah.
When you're the contender, you get nothing for them.
Yeah, you know, but when you got the bag, worth they, the risk. Ooh, some mean
but when you're
people,
the champ,
that developed mean, hungry people, baby.
Yeah.
And you look at who could potentially be next. Obviously, the main narrative is John Jones, which as a fan is the number one blockbuster fight the UFC can make. But the only hiccup with that is John wants to receive compensation to fight a monster in you.
Well, he should. He should.
He should. Agree. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Everybody in this position would like to have a compensation. I mean, basically, a guy like Jones, he's been around for very long and been doing this sport and this company grow. So, yeah, I think there's nothing wrong about that. But once again, I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, me
you
neither.
Know, so I would like that fight to happen.
Is that the number one fight? If they gave you a list and it's John
that
Jones,
would definitely be the number one.
Derek
fight.
Lewis or John really, Jones. It's gone, right? Like
John Jones.
Gone? It's John Jones.
John Jones, on. Definitely. But at this point, we don't know what's gonna happen. So,
what do you think, Mike? John Jones Francis. How you see that going?
I think it's gonna happen. It's ludicrous if it doesn't happen.
Right?
It's insane. Ludicrous. This right now, it all comes down to money right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can they do this? They both under contract. Do we do it under UFC or do we do it under this and pay? You know, what do you do? How do you do this stuff?
Really, you just need to put up the money to please John Jones. And to defend John Jones here, you know, he is the pound-for-pound best fighter on the planet.
Guy,
he's undefeated
guy,
for a reason.
This guy said $10 million is not nothing. If he takes it, what do you say, 20, 25? That's still for a big fight like that. He could say, hey, maybe that's nothing. But, you know, fighters have to understand they can, in a corporation like Legends Only League, our fighters are like our partners. You know, it's not like
God
we own you and you got to go by our rules. There's no rules. You fight, you get paid, you get your back and everything's over. And everybody get our money and we go to separate banks.
Yep.
Who needs a change of scenery right now? Everyone in the world. So it's good that Apartments.com has the most listings anywhere. We're not just talking apartments, but houses, townhouses, condos, and all matters of decimal from the oh so cozy to did you just hear an echo in here? And with 3D virtual tour, you can reach for your special somewhere from anywhere to stretch these fingers across the keyboard and change your scenery on Apartments.com. The most popular place to find a place.
Francis, how do you feel Vegas odds came out? I'm sure you don't pay attention to this, but they have John as the for the first time in his career as an underdog. They have you as the favorite. Which it might create, that's a little surprising. I figured it'd be like maybe even money or maybe, you know, but it's like, I think
no,
they have you as like a.
That's that. Listen, know why it's that way?
Because they want money. They want
money. No, because the odds are good. They're gonna work on this. They're going to make this a David Goliath thing. And for the first time, you know, John, you know, everybody's going to look at as a big guy picking on a little guy, and John is going to be favorites and stuff. You know, people, the fans, the people in Jeff, the people, the thinking, the sympathetic people, he's fighting the big giant, and so we're going to root for him. And hope, you know, American story, we beat the odds, and he's going to have a lot of people, he's going to have a lot of the betting odds.
It's a different That'd animal than Stipe, right, Francis? Like, as far as John compared
I'm talking
to
about outside of the bed. I'm
for sure.
The people.
Yeah,
people.
The public.
Yeah,
You're talking about the public.
Public, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, the public's the bed for
him. That makes sense.
But when you look at that matchup, Francis, obviously a different fight than Stipe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John Jones has definitely has more tools in his pocket than Stipe. But I'm not sure if he's tough as Stipe, though.
That's a fair point. I think, too, one of the reasons the odds are like that is I went back and watched John Jones' last few fights, his last three fights.
Yeah.
He gets hit. He gets hit, and I don't know if he's just not
those
getting up.
Those are not the fights to watch.
But those are his last three. I
no,
can't go back to vintage John Jones.
We look at him, but he's always capable. In a situation like this, he's capable to rise above the occasion. This is not the last three guys.
That's
before.
What I think. Yeah, correct, yeah. Mike. That's what I think. I think he couldn't get up for those fights because those guys aren't big names. So he's kind of fighting to their level. Still won. But with a guy like you, he knows he has to watch his P's and Q's.
He has
and he's
to
not
put,
cause You take one shot from Francis, the fight's over. He knows that.
So he has to put more work into it than his last fight.
And he's going
to
develop more. He's going to gain more weight because, you know, he's going to grab you and stretch you. He's a spider. He's
going to try and take him down.
Yeah, he's going to grab his hands. He's going to hold him. He's just an interesting guy, John Jones.
But he's big, too.
He's creative. He's tall. Have you met him in person? Yeah. He's huge.
We are the same size.
That's what people don't realize. They think John's is small. John's huge.
No,
man.
John's not small.
And agile.
Yeah.
His IQ, man. You know this, Mike. His fight IQ is nuts. John's he's not the most athletic. He's the smartest fighter. That's why John's so good.
And that's why, I'm not saying it's good that the way he lives his life. He can live his life the way he wants. But that's why sometimes he slacks off. He's just too good. Yeah, but I know Francis from the first Stipe fight, never underestimate the other opponent's love for glory.
Was it almost a curse, Francis? Because you were just starching everybody. So it's like, and you don't have a ton of experience, so then you get to Stipe and you land those big shots on him and he didn't back down. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you had that before you got to Stipe, it might have been a different animal because your power is so insane. So it's like you touch guys, they go to sleep.
So I saw that fight, how I approached that fight. I think something was wrong. I was like on a lot of pressure and everything. You know, I have to figure out everything on my own and in a very short period of time. And never being in that level of fighting, you know, I didn't know what I was putting myself into, how this pressure was affecting me, you know. Then when I get there, I don't know, I wasn't me, like my feelings, even during the fight week, I didn't feel anything at all.
Interesting.
It was so weird. So I look at that fight, even how I approached that fight, the guy was looking like me, but I didn't recognize the style. I'm like, what the hell is doing?
Yeah.
But actually, that was exactly what I did, you know?
Yeah.
So even before that fight, if you look at all my fight, if you watch my previous fight before the first Stipe fight, I don't rush in fight like that.
Yeah.
That was the only one.
Yeah.
Like, then that's why I was even more concerned. Like, okay,
why am I
what
doing this?
Went wrong, you know, from there. And that affected me so much, and I didn't realize that until I get into the Derrick Lewis fight. Then I get there, I think I was in my mind still fighting Stipe, you know. That fight was so weird, like people just see how he plays out outside, but nobody knows how he plays out inside.
Yeah, how you feel,
you know?
Yeah.
I was even surprised after the third round that it was the end of the fight. I mean, I was lost. I was there like, okay, I have my time, you know, calm down. And I think this basically about the Stipe fight. I'm like, calm down, you have all your time. And at the end of the fight, I thought I still have like a round.
Yeah.
And it was the end of three rounds. Man, and that's where I'm like, fuck, what's going on?
Yep.
Something's wrong. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to gather myself, figure out, put together my shit, and go back there. And basically at that time, man, you kind of hear any kind of shit, people doubting you, saying anything about you.
Do you pay attention to that? Like social media, stuff like that? Media?
It's not like something that you can pay attention. You hear it, you get it. Either you pay attention of it or not.
That's the most honest question I've heard. I hear some, I don't listen to it. And some people say, how can you not listen? But then how can you not hear
it? How can you not hear it? Like, it's all over.
Somebody know her, then they're going to tell you.
Yeah. It's all over. You feel it. At some point, I'm like, man, I wish I wasn't here. You know, I mean, you kind of like mess with your mind. You want to be unknown by people. Like, where? And you see somebody, you're like, hey, Francis, can I have a picture? You're ashamed of yourself. I'm like, why did he even want a picture with me? Like, leave me alone, you know. But, you know, you have to be that. You're trying to hide.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
The guy.
You're embarrassed.
Yeah, you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Why would you be embarrassed?
Because you feel bad about yourself, your performance, everything. You just feel like you're nothing after
that.
If you
won or if you lost?
No, I mean, that was the feeling that I had after the Lewis fight, you know, and that was like back to back loss, and he wasn't good. And
did you see that fight, Mike?
No.
So Derek Lewis is, you know, Francis is a knockout artist. Yeah, yeah. And then Derek Lewis, definitely a knockout artist. So the public and the media.
Oh, it was a bad fight. It was a stinker.
It was a stinker.
Yeah, I remember.
No disrespect, Francis. Yeah. Bad fight. They were supposed to knock each other out in the first round. You know, it's this long dragged out. You know, Derek Lewis had like a back issue, so he didn't pull the trigger. Francis was in his head. So it was like this weird fight, and we were all expecting fireworks. So when that doesn't happen on that magnitude of a fight, I'm sure you got a lot of shit
for
it.
So let me explain that to you. Can I explain that to you? This in this world we live in, that we have spirits, right? And these spirits are trying to, it's one spirit that says you're great, and another one says you're not. And you go through these, you go through these adversities in life, and one of them wins.
Yeah. So
do you know what I mean? One of them wins, the fucked up guy or the good guy.
But I think you were embarrassed, right? Because there was like all this pressure.
No, I've been there before. There's no reason to be embarrassed because
it's all internally though, Mike. You know?
Yeah, it's internally.
Because those people are not fighting.
No, I know.
Yeah, but you can't tell them, oh, you're not fighting. You know?
Yeah.
You're just getting hit and you're taking it.
Listen.
That's how it works.
You can't say, dude, you were in Starbucks. I'm embarrassed. Yeah.
Fighter. That's what happens to fighters. Great fighters. They feel humiliated. They kill themselves. They stop fighting.
And that's I feel really bad at that moment. I'm like, damn, I wish I was unknown. I wish I could hide, like race, just get away of this. And at some point, I'm like, fuck. Either way, what did that change? I always been an underdog. I always been in this situation. Nobody like truly believe in me. Yeah. I mean, yes,
that's not they believed. Though.
They believed at some point, but at first they weren't even there. Nobody even believed.
Yeah.
So it's up to me now to do what I have to do. Maybe he doesn't work, but at least.
Did you ever fight Derek again?
No.
No,
that might be the next
but Derek's now on a win streak, and then
you could give him a chance and revenge that and make a exciting fight.
We have to do that
after
we
John. No, after John Francis. After John.
Well, I'm not. I would say
every
so,
fight
but
he
I'm
had,
not making a fight.
Every fight he had.
You know, I wish after John.
Me too.
Fight he had, the successful and spectacular, makes John even bigger. Makes the whole fight game even bigger.
Agree.
And John should have another one more fight before him as well. So they could see what's going to happen.
Maybe you're talking, but if one guy has earned a straight title shot, the heavyweight title is Jon Jones.
Well, I'm just saying, if he wants to, he wants to make some extra money before he fights him.
Yeah,
you know, every time before I fight a big fight, I fight two guys to make what $10 million, $20 million
for
before
sure.
I even fight a guy for the $160 million.
That's that boxing life, though. Yeah, Mike, you know? In UFC, they
always want to put it in the bank before I go for the big risk.
UFC don't play like that.
That's a boxing killer. Match. Yeah.
Like I want Holyfield. I want Holyfield and I want Lennox Lewis this year. I want both of them this year. If I can get them both this year, I fuck this shit. I won't do it. Else if I box an exhibition with Tyson Fury. If I do that, if I get those two guys, I'll say, hey, this is a wrap. I'm just going to live life.
Yes, sir.
And that's just exhibition. I'm going to break all my professional true records with exhibitions.
Yeah. Do you feel like the baddest man on the planet? Because when you were fighting, Mike, everyone said you're the baddest man on the planet. And then even now, it carried over to 2020, 2021, where they go, Tyson Fury's the champ or Anthony Joshua's the champ. That's the baddest man on the planet. This is the baddest man on the planet because he can fight, just not box.
Listen,
Francis can box.
No,
he can wrestle.
No, listen. You're the baddest man on the planet because you beat the baddest man on the planet. And that's what he beat.
Correct.
What's that black guy with the Russian name? That was a bad motherfucker. Come on, the black guy you knocked out in the first round called with the Russian name.
Rosenstruck?
That's Suriname.
Oh,
from Suriname.
Is he?
He's from Suriname.
Last name is Russian.
Yeah.
Rosenstruck.
Yeah.
Jairzinho Rosenstruck.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, he was an awesome fighter, too.
Oh, he's a bad man with him.
It was like he was squatting a fly with him. put the fight on. Put the fight on, please. Come on, please.
I mean,
please.
We can do this. Bring up what he did to Curtis Blades. It's insulting.
No,
The Curtis Blade one was TKO.
Yeah, but still bad though, man.
No. You didn't see this one. I can tell you.
No, I saw this one because Francis threw caution to the wind and just had no respect.
His head was too high.
Had everything. Hands I'm so happy down, the guy didn't just throw beat back. The shit out of him.
But you know, he just took one though, God. And you were so humble. I don't understand why he was talking to me. Why would he talk to me like that?
Yeah, why did he talk to me like that?
Why did he do that?
He fucked up, man.
He knows what I do. Why would he talk to me like that?
He knows what I do. I don't get it.
He's so humble. Why would he say those things?
Yeah. Yeah, the funniest thing is, like, he called me out, and he was out there talking like, I'm going to be the first one knocking Ngannou, knocking out Ngannou. Then I saw him. I kind of, like, see myself when I started. I'm like, well, guess what, kid? You don't know what you're putting yourself into. And he was talking.
This one right here. Oh, he be knocking people's dick loose, man. He'll knock your dick in the dirt, this cat right here, right? Watch this. Watch this shit. Somebody told a gun. Motherfucker. Yeah, but look,
you gave him a few extra.
Oh, listen, can I tell you, if I was with my manager, my trainer, I was here, I knocked the guy out in 8 seconds. You know what he said? I didn't do it perfectly formed the way he taught me to do it. And he said, listen. 8 seconds. He said, listen, that guy with a little bit more experience, he would have hit you.
Yeah.
I would never say, that's crazy. But I said, really? Okay, I'll practice to keep my head down more.
Yeah.
I'm saying to myself, eight seconds? Yeah. I fucked up in 8 seconds? Fuck.
Yeah.
But listen.
No, he was like, I'm going to be the first one knocking me out.
When was this fight? A couple of months ago? How was it? Last year?
Last year,
yeah,
May.
Last year.
May last year.
He just woke up this morning.
No.
No, see, he's a humble guy. He just woke up this morning. And I was always, I saw him knock some guy. I said, this is a bad motherfucker. I would know him as the black guy with the Russian last name. Yeah, that's how I know him.
But you know what's funny? Like, at the weigh-in, like, I face him the first time. I'll stare at him like this. I saw a different guy. It wasn't like the guy we were talking out there. Yeah. You see, like, he's like, fuck, what the hell do I put myself into?
That like, energy, baby. It's too late, man.
It's too late, dog.
It's too late.
I'm gonna get paid.
Not time to talk anymore. Yeah. Just time to fight. And the next day in the octagon, like, I was a red corner, so he get in the octagon first. Then I got in after, and on my side was looking at him, man. He was cool. Like, I'm like, did this guy even get warm up or something? He was looking so bad.
You knew.
I'm like, yeah, this is the moment. Yeah. Whatever you said, you're going to pay now.
Yeah.
You have to do it now.
Yeah,
I have to see that energy.
But that's probably, listen, maybe, and God willing, he was lucky that you were swinging like swag. Maybe you did it accurately. You might have killed him. Yeah.
But I was very frustrated about that fight because,
you could tell.
Because I was expecting a fight for so long, and basically, like, I thought I deserve a title, you know.
Agreed.
And you know, having a fight, dealing with the fight with the UFC at that moment was so hard, so complicated. So, like, I get there, I felt like that fight, I took it as a slap on the face. Like,
agreed,
I'm
man.
Like, fuck. Yeah, okay, so, like, this is kind of like what I have to get, okay. So for me, he was like, yeah, I felt disrespected.
I felt disrespected for you because I felt like for a long time you weren't getting they weren't keeping you active, and you're in your prime right now.
I know. We keep asking for fight, and they were like, oh, let's wait for if this guy fight this guy, this play out like this.
The Stipe DC thing kind of held up everything.
He wasn't even on the topic at the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, we don't even know what's going on. We don't know what's...
Damn,
like,
it's cock. Look at this. Check this out.
It's hard to deal with this.
Oh, this guy's a good boxer, too.
Orlovsky's a monster, yeah.
Boy, that's boom. That's short, fucking rude. Vicious, evil.
Mm. Orlovsky's a tough one, too, man.
You hit him with the one on top of the ear, too. Yeah, with that left and back ear. That really hurt him.
I didn't feel like I hurt him. I'm like, why do you fall?
You fall
why
down?
Are you falling?
Those are the best punches sometimes. Most of my fights, when I throw a punch and the guy's out cold, I sit down, I thought I missed them.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. Yeah. I did this just to like count. Then he went down. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what's happened, but I have to follow to secure the win.
Yeah. Herb needs to get some different shoes. Get in there, Herb.
What?
Like when you're fighting Stipe and you, like, he's, dude, he's like this. It's not your job to stop. You go till the ref pulls you off.
Yeah.
Herb needs to be a little closer.
No. Hey, honestly, I watched this fight and I saw the Herb Dean action, and I think this should be the performance of the night.
Herb?
Do you see how fast he's run?
I know he was going
moving backward, and then after the action, like, you see how fast
he's busting his sprint. Ass.
Like, the guy was on notice. He know that if some his friends is touching him, let him touch it again.
Agreed.
Like, and then he just came like
Francis the Flatter.
You know, like,
yeah. He had to, man.
Hey, yeah. Francis, how are you with money? Huh? You and money
great
get along
question,
well,
Mike.
Well, wait until I have money. For now, I'm just...
You like giving money to women?
Give money to women?
These are great questions, Mike.
Let's see if when I have money.
Oh, no, hey,
I
don't
have money yet, brother.
Listen, you have enough to throw around now.
No.
Yes.
I'm not doing... We are not doing the same... We are not doing the same thing, business like you, so...
Listen, Mike.
Yeah, it's not the paydays you got, Mike.
It's nothing to do with
you. I can mac with $40,000 a year. I can make $40,000 a year stretch out.
Yeah, I bet now. But when you were fighting, you were pretty loosey-goosey with money, right?
Oh, God.
Elephant in the room, but you know what I'm saying?
Oh, fuck. That's why I'm asking this.
That's what I'm saying, man.
The next thing I see this girl, next thing, hey, do you like that Mercedes? I got a nice car. I'm so fucked up. Forgive me, God. Why did you make me like this? Why am I like this? But let's get back to you.
I think you're awesome. I think that's great.
That was good.
Now, what are you doing, good, man? How do you manage money? You have accountants. What do you do? If you want to go out and buy not say a car, you say buy a living room set. What do?
A living room set.
Yeah. Do you do it yourself and pick it out, or you call somebody and say, "Can you be kind enough to help me look for a living room set?"
I can call somebody to help me for design, but I go up and pick it myself. You know,
yeah,
like. Somebody will help me for like interior to design it. How what will be best with what, depending on what I like. But I will be out there myself.
I don't know. I used to be I was younger.
Tell that time about those white tigers, Mike.
Oh, forget that. When I used to be younger, I used to have survivors. What I'm doing all this fucking money? I used to have fucking hundreds of thousands of all this money on me. I didn't know what to do. I would give it to people. I didn't know. I'm 19. I got all this fucking money. You can't get rid of it. It's cutting the fuck. And I'm saying, what the hell
but
am I doing?
You had a real money at that time.
Huh?
Yeah, that's different.
You had a real money. That's different topic.
Like, now he's the best man on the planet, but he's not getting paid like the best man.
Yeah, I dig that. Well, in a situation like that, you have to make your own. Listen, a guy like him, know what a guy like this guy can do? He can make his own organization.
Are you saying start his own fight league?
Look, I'm doing it.
You're.
That's Mike true. Tyson. But, you know, but
he has a lot. You know, he just got the belt, so he fights John. He's gonna get paid. He fights John. Yeah, you knock John out. We're going Sizzler.
I know.
Like, we're all gonna be chinchilla coats in 6 months, sitting back down here, and France is gonna buy all of his chinchilla coats.
What's the promotion?
Legends Only Leagues.
That's Mike's.
Prentice is Legends Only League, right? And it's no easy fights. All the best fighting the best.
But you're Mike
that's
Tyson.
That's cool. Yeah.
I don't look at it as Mike Tyson. I look at it as me as this guy from Brownsville that lives in the Sutter, the gutter. It's a really disgusting kid. I don't look at me. This is a big superstar. I never look at myself that way because I will fail.
That's true.
That's true.
That's true. That's like me. I feel I reset my goal every time when I go back home, and like to go back where I was, like trying to do even those jobs, even though I don't care about it anymore, but like trying to do it, refit it, makes me remember like where I was there, you know, like he refreshed my memory and just make me feel that. So it helped me like to know exactly where I'm going. Then when I came back in the U.S., I know what I'm coming here for.
Exactly. Like, you know, he used to work in sandwich, digging shit.
Last year he was telling me this, but he doesn't know in a country like this you could be your own enterprise, your own business. You could sweat and bleed for yourself.
That's why you got
instead of someone else. You know, you could do that here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marquez.
My team, my manager, we are working on it.
If I can do this stuff, I'm not that smart. If I can do this stuff, brother, you can do it.
But, Mike, imagine.
I told you, I'm one of God's fools. I'm one of God's fools. If I can do it, anybody can.
But, Mike, imagine getting your first title and then doing this. Like, that's where Francis is at. You know? Like, he has so much more work to do. There's such big fights coming up.
Oh, absolutely. But he can't look at it that he has to believe that he's that person that he has to, that you say he has to be. He has to believe he's that person this instant.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he's the guy that those big fights coming. He's already beat those guys in his heart and his spirit. But he got to put in the work to do it, though.
For sure.
But you got to first have the power of belief.
When you go back home, Francis, do they realize like what type of star you are? Do they realize like kind of what your fight purse is?
The thing, like, you have a bank, you own a bank.
Yeah.
But which is okay. They realize what you're doing and make it even bigger. I'm going to tell you something, like in 2018, after I lost against Stipe, man, I went back, I felt like shit. Couldn't sleep. Even when I went to sleep, I didn't want this sun to rise the next day. I felt like I want the night just last forever. You know, I couldn't look at myself, feel very bad at that moment. I'm like, man. At some point, I'm like, man, this is how you find that people suicide. I just took my phone and then went online, booked a first plane for Cameroon. Guess what? When I went in Cameroon, the welcome that I had there, man, like, it was crazy. They were so excited, so happy, so proud.
I love that.
And at some point, I was still, like, feeling bad about myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, there was just like, hey, champ, welcome. And everybody was going crazy, even grandmas who doesn't know anything about fighting. And now I'm like, listen, guy. I think you might get something wrong here. Mm-hmm. I lost. I didn't win that fight. I'm like, we don't care. Yeah. You won everything. Like, where are you coming from to get there? Like, we never had somebody there. We never even expect somebody from us. We get there and you make it there. You represent us. We make our prize. Obviously, it didn't go your way, but you're still young and this. I'm like, oh, this is cool. I feel good.
I'm such a smart
for move. For the I didn't want to come back.
you made it. Like, especially in their eyes, you made it.
Yeah, I stayed there for like five weeks. Then I came back here. Then, you know, I have to get back in the. Well,
some people don't have expectations.
Yeah.
We have expectations. Mm-hmm. Shit.
That was crazy.
Francis, so are there more guys that look like you walking the streets of Canada?
Hell yeah.
Oh, a ton of them.
What are we doing, man?
And that's why
they never did a push-up in their life. Just
and I'm going to tell
muscle.
You, like,
that's what I'm talking about.
They never did a push-up, never walked the street, never ran unless they're playing some sports with normal around the neighborhood, and they look like they're brick walls.
Because everyone's talking about how Russians are taking over, like, mixed martial arts and boxing. It's like, if you look at it, the Africans are. Because you look at
Izzy, they have opportunity.
Usman, you.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are all the champ.
They have opportunity. And in Africa, you have to see, like, what Africa is making with less than nothing.
Sure.
You know, like, we were talking about, like, people walking around, no push-up. I grew up without doing anything as a sport, you know, nothing. I never do anything. And I believe that even now that I'm a UFC champ, I believe that there's still a lot of people, a ton of people out there better than me. They don't just have opportunity as I do, you know. So you have to look at the statistic, you know. How many African fighters in the UFC?
Not a lot, but there's some champs.
Not a lot for like a roster. The UFC roster has over 500 fighters.
Like 1% African?
Yeah, less than 20 African in the UFC.
For sure.
In 7 division, we have 3 belts. That means a lot.
They're taking
that
over, dog.
But you have to look at it like this.
Start the bridge.
You have to deal with the adversity of life and sports, because the adversity is going to make the weak weaker and the strong stronger. And it's going to separate the two. And this is what life is really based on, you know, the survival of the fittest.
But don't you think, Francis, like, you you know, especially now being the champ, don't you think more guys from your hometown are like, shit, look at Francis, man. They're gonna start training.
They've been like that for quite a while
since you got started.
Yeah, since I got started, there's a lot of people out there believing.
You don't believe that you're the best because you put in the most work and you trained and no one gave it to me and not many people going to work as hard as you going to be able to accomplish what you accomplished and they'll still be successful. You had one of those rare breeds of dedication where people really put in the hard work.
Yeah.
And still we could all still improve.
Yeah, I agree.
But you're like the prototype of that.
I agree with that, but at the meantime, I know that there's a lot of people. I know my hometown and my country, and there's a lot of people out there who probably put more work than me, and don't get the opportunity to showcase that. You know, like I don't consider. I'm dedicated to what I want. I know, like when I believe in something, I go for that. Doesn't matter what people believe or not, but there's a lot of people out there who like hard worker than me. I believe so. I don't take this like granted. I don't take this like, oh, I'm the best worker in the world. You know, I think at some point I'm also grateful for the opportunity and for the luck that I have as well, because there's a ton of people that work even harder and they can even assure to have food when they are hungry. And that's how it's just out there.
If I'm the UFC, I do a fight in Africa. You have three African champions, man.
They should.
Like, why not do Francis versus John Jones in Africa?
Do they have their walking paper? Do they have their freedom papers?
That's not hard to get.
Well, in order to even think this, you need to have walking papers. You know, when you look at sports as an organization, it's a form of slavery. Enterprise is a form of slavery. We're all working for that cause to hit that number. We never have to work again. You know, the average person that is. That's their dream, to never work again.
Yeah.
And then when they have that dream, they're going to be miserable not working. But it's just this dream in our head that if we're working and we're breaking our necks, that we're slaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to a certain degree, that is true. But every athlete, especially an athlete of his degree, my degree, we should own ourselves. We should suffer, get our ass kicked, get knocked out, or knock people out on our own benefits.
Agree.
And nobody should be taking our percentage for our cuts and our bruises. They take percentages for us getting beat up.
It's crazy. And that's why John Jones is holding out.
Yeah. I think holding out is a bad situation. If you're not making money and you're holding out, you're self-suffering.
But not if you're set. Like John is set. He doesn't need to fight.
Well, listen, say if I was a guy like that and I'm on papers, I'm fighting in Siberia, I'm getting a check somewhere,
mm-hmm.
I'm going somewhere, I'm going to the end of the, I'm going somewhere and somebody's going to have to sue me in court, but I'm getting the check somewhere. If I'm not UFC, I'm going to WWF. I'm going to get a check somewhere. I'm not going to starve because somebody else believes he has the carrot twinkling. Yeah, else he has me on the contract. Yeah. I'm gonna.
But eat. I don't think that fight is gonna go to the end. He's gonna go to the fight because the process will stop. He will stop in the process.
But then,
and yeah, that's why
that sucks.
Lawyers, yeah.
Yeah.
Then only a lawyer should meet. I think having managers are a joke. You should have even a lawyer. A lawyer, a manager, my opinion for a manager. Manager is what? It's a glamorized cheerleader, pretty much. What do you need a manager for when you got a lawyer? Why do you have two of them? I have a manager and a lawyer. Why am I paying both of them to do the same job?
10%. Yeah.
No, but I think you have, as you said, from your experience, I think you went to something really different and really hard, and maybe
how much you pay your
they take advantage on you, but sometimes
I'm the poster boy of taking advantage of.
I think that's why you have your perspective.
Yeah, I think that's why you have the perspective like that. You know, sometimes you work with you get somebody like working with, whether it's a manager or a coach, and then. You feel like at some point you might even feel like they're underpaid. Why? Because the service, how they're involved in everything coming your way. How they're
fighting for your interest. Well, managers are pretty much the fighter's friend, you know, now.
It depends. So
it depends for the service. It depends for what the manager is doing for you.
Yeah, for like
what is it that your manager can do that your lawyer can't do better?
It's two different things, Mike. It's two different things. Like, we are in a two era, very different, and a two different sport. You know, today we capitalize on like building our own brand, like having sponsor. You know, we need that to pay our bills as well, because we don't have as much in the fighting, like for the fighting fight check. So we need to build around. We need to manage our life. And there is a lot of things going on that we cannot manage it ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we definitely need somebody around to help us handle that, to go out the hustle for us. And that's what the manager be.
And a lawyer always have a fiduciary duty. He always has to tell you the truth.
Lawyer is like,
manager's not gonna always tell you the truth.
Lawyer take care of legal stuff.
Not all the time though.
I mean, when it's not legal stuff.
Listen, that's all you need is legal stuff. You know, that's all you need in your life is legal stuff and your trainer.
Well, let's say they want to make a movie about Francis. And let's say Paramount or Universal comes to Francis. You don't want just a lawyer dealing with it,
that's
right?
That's all you want is a lawyer dealing with it.
He doesn't have any experience on that.
Yeah,
it's not his job. You have to give everyone his own job.
No, what kind of lawyer you have that doesn't know about entertainment?
Are you paying this lawyer a full time? Is it working for you?
Yeah, or pretty
what
much.
Is
yeah,
okay, guess what? Full-time. We don't have as much money to pay a lawyer a full time. So we'd rather have a manager over a lawyer. Yeah. You're talking about... It's two different business, Mike.
It just seems the same. I just know oppression. Oppression is oppression, and you fight it all the same way.
I don't think you can find like five MMA fighters in the world who can afford to have like a full-time lawyer. No, you can find that.
It'd be tough. The world's just
that's not possible.
The fighting now is
spending more money for less. Like, it's more cut than what you should get.
Like his
person is
like 30-40 mil, Mike.
Because if you tell the lawyer that, okay, you're working for me full time for 10%, he can work for you. I'm like, fuck you. You know, your money is not that big.
I don't know. I think I'm struggling. I got a fucking lawyer.
I think your optics of managers and lawyers, Mike, are different because you're a person. Like, you're talking about the 90s. And what Francis is doing, building this empire, this brand, he's almost in the fight entertainment business now. It's just a different animal.
And how many zeros was on your paycheck?
Listen, when I look at him, different. I see a fucking superstar. And when I see a superstar, I see a motherfucker that could pay his fucking dinner bill and help his friends out too. That's what I see.
The real question is, my paycheck goes with that. Can I afford that? I can't afford it.
How many fights do you have on the contract?
Well, no much, but
more than two.
Your
fight.
I'm a champion now. I have extension and everything, 100%. So it's kind of like
6 months. You can fight two fights in 6 months. They won't let them fight that early, huh? Well, a year you can get two fights in a year, right? I had 15 fights in 1 year.
As a pro?
Yeah.
That means 15 dudes were getting fucked up.
I stayed active.
See, but it's not up to him, Mike, because the UFC controls his narrative. So, like, for the longest time,
in the past,
he was ready to go, and they couldn't get him fights. So that's what you saw, that assault on Rosenstruik, that was his frustration.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't get him fights.
I have, like, two fights for almost 2 years. I wanted to fight.
When you're on contract, you can't fight nowhere else?
No,
it's exclusive.
And the one thing that makes the UFC... special and where they're at is their contracts are airtight, man. They have the best lawyers. So if you try going somewhere else, you're
lawyers. Not the manager. They have horrible. They have horrible managers. Yes, but they have great lawyers.
This is the problem, Mike. This is the problem,
UFC
Mike.
You got sucky managers. They suck.
No, they can afford a lawyer. You can't afford a lawyer. This is the difference. This listen, is all the difference.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, I can't remember when I didn't have a lawyer. Even when I was, well, when
of course, you
I, had, with
you,
my team,
you had money for that.
I having a fucking lawyer.
Yeah. Mike, you had two white tigers.
You had money for that.
Had
you
got money? For them too.
That's what I'm saying.
I've been sued for them too. White
you are giving Rolls Royce away.
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. We are talking about two different stories.
It feels good to give away.
Yeah, it does.
Like, we don't feel like we are even related to your story when it comes to money. We are not even related.
Different, you know? Different atmosphere.
We will just take, we will just carry your back, work to the gym with you.
I'm not gonna let you think I'm not no gutter nigga. Now stop, man. I don't know anybody poorer than me until I went to Mexico.
Where was?
Really? Nobody's poorer than me. Fuck.
When you're talking about when you're coming up.
Yeah.
In Brownsville.
Fuck no.
But for Francis has seen that too, though. In Cameroon, it, you know.
I know.
There's that similar stories there.
Ooh, I don't like talk about it. I'm a monster. Ooh, I'm getting irky.
Ooh, you start talking about managers and Mike gets fucking PTSD. Hey.
Ooh, that thing about the past, that fucking shit creeped up on me.
Francis, don't you think the UFC is going to start kind of doubling down on Africa? Wouldn't it be, as far as a business plan, you know, they're all about money. And you look at the on-tap talent there. You look at the three stars between Usman, Stylebender, and you, which are the three faces of the UFC, all African.
I mean, that's what we all believe, you know.
We're building an organization for African fighters where they have their rights and they're not slaves to the organization. You're not seeing it. That's what I see when you put you all together. Rights, African rights violation unit.
What do you mean
so you think Africa should start their own league, Mike?
I think they should do it over here, but somebody should represent them. They should have a lawyer, not a manager, and they will represent them.
Of course, like when it comes to legal stuff,
yeah,
he needs a lawyer. Yeah, but you know,
see, a guy like me, I need a lawyer.
And your manager can find a lawyer.
I need a lawyer to teach me how to live my life. Don't touch that person. Don't touch this. I need a lawyer for life.
I need to know who your lawyer is, man. They sound lit as fuck.
And
I need them. You know, I need them.
Well, back in the day, you probably needed one, like, right?
No, exactly. Back in the day, I was action. I'm really just thought now.
Yeah, like one of the nicest guys I know now. Yeah,
I'm very happy to be that guy now.
Yeah.
Thank God. I have a commercial. You saw my commercial, Mike Lemonade?
No.
I have a fucking commercial since Pepsi. That must be like 40 years since they gave me a commercial. You know? I got a commercial. Nobody saw my commercial? Yeah. Thank you, motherfucker.
Your voice saw it. What was it on? Yeah. I don't really watch TV.
It's on fucking...
It's all over.
Yeah. I saw it on cable.
I'll see it.
I mean, people sure watch cable, baby. Shit.
Francis needs a commercial.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you did a UFC Toyo tire commercial, right?
Yeah, I do the Pitos too.
Oh, dope.
I do the Johnny Legend Mitsubishi in Las Vegas.
Love it.
So it's like...
And where's home, Francis? Huh? Right now, where's home?
Las Vegas.
Oh, that's where you need to live for the rest of your life. But listen, Legends Only League, not only when our fighters come to us, you know, they don't even know in the fight world. We will have them, we will also have inside agents where they get roles on television, commercials. These guys, we're going to make them superstars when we introduce them to the public. Normally, the public is introduced to the fighter, but we're going to introduce the fighter to the public.
But if they're legends, Mike, they're kind of, we're familiar with.
No, we're going to get them, but we're also going to have fights on the card too.
Oh, gotcha.
And there'll be pay-per-view fights there. Gotcha. Most of them will be.
Gotcha.
Everything's pretty much pay-per-view, but still we have a platform for just Saturday night fights, weekly fights and stuff.
That sounds cool.
I talked to the guys yesterday. But this has never been done before. This is almost like Motown where we come, we bring the fighters in, we clean them the fuck up, we put them on scene, we let the whole world evaluate them, and then they're in the ring. So they already have a fan base. People are aware of them. That's almost like really old school stuff, cleaning kids up, teaching them. I'm not going to teach nobody how to eat, but you're just setting them up. Teaching them the game. Mike, having their own account.
Mike, what do you think about like a lot of guys we hear, especially in the UFC, go, oh, I want a shot at boxing. I want to see how I do in boxing. Usually it's a bad idea. But when Francis goes, oh, I'd like a shot in boxing, like say him versus Tyson Fury, that's one of the fights where I'm like, I'm kind of down for that.
Well, that'd be pretty interesting, especially after people see him learn how to box. You know, he had to put him in there with guys who are very elusive and it's very difficult to hit. He's not going to be able to use his elbow. Well, he can use your elbow, but you can't use your knees.
His kicks are coming along, but his boxing.
Yes, but he's got to make sure because fighters are interesting. Fighters only got to worry about punches. So they see the punch and they know where the punch is. They know you can only punch straight, round, up, or over.
Yes, sir.
And they anticipate. Boxing is just so off the fucking chain, weird. You're in there fighting the guy that you can't hit. And you're really trying to hurt him and you can't hit him.
Yeah.
Francis, is that something you're open to?
Boxing?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I have to. You know, boxing was my dream for so long. But I didn't have an opportunity until the first opportunity that I had was the UFC. And then I'm like, okay, you don't let the opportunity like that on the table.
No.
You know why you don't, and why you don't have something.
Faster. You make money faster.
And also build a name. So at some point, I'm definitely going to do boxing.
Did you hear he's controlling boxing? You control your own destiny.
Yeah.
No one owns
you. I'm going to do that.
It depends. Where he's at, like, let's say he beats John and then gets on the mic and does a hot promo to fight Tyson Fury. If he's still under contract, like Conor was when he fought Floyd, the UFC, Dana, is going to get a piece of his Tyson
Fury. Under contract or on free agent are going to do boxing.
Free agent can.
Both are going to do.
Well, I think you should do
that. It has to happen. Because there's nothing that I can deal with now if they take boxing away out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's very
clear. I would love to see it, man.
I want to train on, put him on that bag. Put him on that bag.
You know, at some point, it's not just about like, you have to do things like you feel it, things that you love, things that you like. And doing boxing is something that, man, I had this dream. I was like 12 years old to like become a boxer in my life. And that's the only thing that I was like excited about it. So down the road, I crossed paths with MMA, who has been great with me. But I still have to do this thing.
Check
you know?
That box.
I have to check that. I would go out there and like feel it for the high level.
Yeah. Listen, for me as a fan, you know, I'd love to see you fight John in Africa. I'd love to see you fight Tyson Fury whenever that happens. I'd love, now that MMA is legalized in France, I'd love to see UFC in France.
Who the hell is John Africa?
No, fighting John in
John
Africa.
Jones in Africa.
Oh,
in
yeah,
Africa.
John Jones in Africa, yeah.
There's a new
I don't know John Africa, but it sounds dope.
I think they can recreate Rambo in the Jungle. I mean, that's the idea. That would be something dope.
Oh, and Rumble in the Jungle, yes.
And I'm definitely going to be part on that one.
Yeah, you'd be the face of it, my man.
Part Rumble in the Jungle. You know, I wish they do it pretty soon, like maybe something with Jones or something.
Yeah.
But, man, we're gonna recreate Rumble in the Jungle. That's something epic, you know. And now that African stands as a figure of combat sport as well, you know, we have to go back to that.
Agree.
Imagine how much charity you could do for Africa.
Pay credit for that.
Imagine how much charity you could do for Africa. They won't have to come out their purse either.
Yeah, he does a lot of charity. He does a ton of charity for Africa. Yeah.
Imagine if you fought it with John Jones and you could build a school or build a hospital. Agree.
We also impact the economy.
Yes.
You know, in that department, basically, like fighting, like you're going to see like more and more gym grow from.
I would be willing to bend the next year if there's a UFC gym with your face on it out in Cameroon.
Well.
Mark Elder, yeah.
Well, it's up to the UFC. There's a lot of teams which is just up to the UFC.
I know, man.
Yeah, so.
Hey, can you picture me saying this? You know, I don't have a say about this it. This guy it, here, how if my life, I live or die today. Hey, it's up to this guy if I'm going to eat today. It's up to this guy if I'm going to talk to you today.
Yeah, no, but I hear you, Mike. That's the game.
In order to have a UFC gym, it's up to the UFC.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm compassionate, and I'm a strong believer in humanity, and I don't see none of that here when we talk about the human beings in the UFC. I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm a stupid.
You're not stupid.
I've been to school, so I don't know.
But you do know the fight game, Mike. So when you talk, you know, it's powerful.
I don't know. I really don't know I know the human game.
You know the human game. You know the fight game. But you could, like, you know, you had Dana on the show. If you would ask him, I'd do. I know you had Dana on the show.
Yeah.
You could ask him, you know. So, like, you know, he's the one who holds this man's future.
Ask him
I could talk to Dana about that. But Dana need these guys to confront him and say, Dana, I'm dying. I don't have the handouts, you know. I was that way with Don King. You know, me and Don King are friends now, but I had to learn. And now I'm doing what they're sort of, but I'm not a promoter. I would never even call myself a promoter. But I'm treating people fair.
Yeah. Well, that's all we want for Francis.
You have to fight for fairness. Fairness is not given to us.
That's true. Fairness is not given.
Well, I think that's it,
fellas. And I love everybody.
Love you guys. This is Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. That's the champ, the baddest man on the planet, Francis Ngannou. Francis,
hey, so the last time I was here, you called me on Crown Champ. You entitled me on Crown Champ.
Yeah, but now you're the I'm Crown Champ. But listen, now you're going to be the longest reigning Crown Champion in UFC.
Okay. As long as you get a lawyer, am I right?
The next
no, listen. The lawyer's going to help keep that in place. No, but listen, man, a guy like you, man, you're so humble and stuff.
He's the best.
And when I was champion, I dare you to even think about challenging me. You know, I've learned so much just meeting you. I've learned a lot about humbleness. It's really so awesome. I'm really so happy for your success.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me here, man. Yes.
This week on Bowling with Favre, we got the legendary Dr. Phil.
Hey, this is Dr. Phil. Check out Bowling with Favre on any platform that you listen to your podcast. You do not want to miss it.
And coming up on next week's show, Tuesday the 30th, we're joined by rock legend and always outspoken, my friend, Ted Nugent. Subscribe now everywhere you get your podcasts or stream the show for free at podcastone.com.